नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्यत्यादिशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा मनचारी जमुना तीरा मनचारी Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन विभिड़ी संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर चतुर्थ भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती को सगरा श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की ब्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम की श्री मथुरा धाम की श्री नवदीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम चित जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया की जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी की श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदी समवेत भक्त वृंद की समवेत भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, text 29.
Na veda kaschit bhagavam chikirshitam. Na veda kaschit bhagavam chikirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit daitosti karhichit. Nayasya kaschit daitosti karhichit. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Naveda kaschit bhagavanshi kirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit daistoti karhichit. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Naveda kaschit bhagavamsi kirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit daitosti karhichit. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Naveda kaschit bhagavam shikirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vridambanam. Nayasya kaschit daistosti karhichit. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Naveda kaschit bhagavamsti kirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit daistosti karhichit. Vishascha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam. Naveda kaschit bhagavam shikirshitam. Taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit daistosti karhichit. Dveshyashcha yasmin vishamamatir nirnam.
The word for word meaning is as follows. Na does not. Veda, no. Kaschit, anyone. Bhagavan, O Lord. Chikirshitam, pastimes. Tava, your. Ihamanasya, like the worldly men. Nirnam, of the people in general. Vidambanam, misleading. Na, never. Yasya, his. Kaschit, anyone. Daitaha, object of specific favor. Asti, there is. Karhichit, anywhere. Dveshaha, object of envy. Cha, and. Yasmin, unto him. Vishama, partiality. Matihi, conception. Nirnam, of the people. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Lord, No one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are Parsha. The Lord's mercy upon the fallen souls is equally distributed. He has no one as a specific object of hostility. The very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. His pastimes appear to be exactly like a human being's, but actually they are transcendental and without any tinge of material contamination. He is undoubtedly known as partial to his pure devotees, but in fact, he is never partial. As much as the sun is never partial to anyone. By utilizing the sun rays, sometimes even the stones become valuable. Whereas a blind man cannot see the sun, although there are enough sun rays before him. Darkness and light are two opposite conceptions, but this does not mean that the sun is partial in distributing its rays. The sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacities of the receptacles differ. Foolish people think that devotion service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange. And therefore, the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons or philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious at all, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And those who are 100% engaged in the service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient, and it is not due to the partiality of the all-merciful Lord. When the Lord descends on this material world by his all-merciful energy, he plays like a human being, and therefore it appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees only. But that is not a fact. Despite such apparent manifestation of partiality, his mercy is equally distributed. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all persons who died in the fight before the presence of the Lord got salvation without the necessary qualifications, because the death before the presence of the Lord purifies the passing soul from the effects of all sins, and therefore the dying man gets a place somewhere in the transcendental abode. Somehow or other, if someone puts himself open in the sun rays, he is sure to get the requisite benefit both by heat and by ultraviolet rays. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is never partial. It is wrong for the people in general to think of him as partial.
Vandeyam Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Om Jnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे न वेद कश्चित् भगवं चिकित्सितं तवेह मानस्य नृणां विडम्बनम् न यस्य कश्चित् दयितोऽस्ति कर्हिचित् द्विष्यश्च यस्मिन् विषमा मतिर्नृणाम्। क्वीन कुंती इज कंटिन्यूइंग हर फ्लो ऑफ प्योर डिवोशनल थॉट एंड as is usual the pattern in Srimad Bhagavatam is that along with the prayers you have siddhanta an understanding of how the Lord works how his energies work and the focus of today's verse the discussion is of Krishna's pastimes appearing to be very mundane. The word vidambanam comes, I think, twice in her prayers. When she saw Krishna being chased by Mother Yashoda and fear kind of saturated on child Krishna's face and she says that fear personified fears you and how come you are just afraid of your mother's the stick in your mother's hand how is it she says I can't understand this at all tad atyanta vidambanam It's misleading. Today she is saying that your pastimes are generally not understandable to the people in general. So little bit of a background about this is text 29 and I think we go up to text 43. Text 43 is the last of her prayers. And the last of her prayers is simply an outburst of so much of appreciation for Krishna. It's like, Sri Krishna, Krishna Saka, Vishni, Vishabha, Rishabhavani Dhruk. Rajanya Vamsa Dhanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Govadvija Surarthi Hravatara. So it's like the names of Krishna just come like a flow and then she stops. So just to remind the setting behind these prayers is after a long stay in Hastinapur Krishna tells
the Pandavas that,
can I leave?
So, Yudhishthira Maharaj and others, they are saying that it's because of you that our household, our family life is secure. So, Gaur Krishna Maharaj, late lamented Gaur Kishore Maharaj, I mean, not lamenting from his point of view, our point of view, in his classic Hindi, 48 files on Bhagavatam. If you want to hear, as they say in Hindi, Dhara Pravaha, that's, to my understanding, there is a thing which comes really close to that. He just starts, and only when he sees the clock, he says, okay, we'll stop here and start tomorrow, and like that. So he says, Krishna is telling them, oh, so you have one household and you are so careful about that. I have 16,000 to take care of. And I'm just not there for a very long time. What do I do? So they said, but you know, only if you are there, we feel like living in Hastinapur. Otherwise, what's the use of Hastinapur or even this material world? So that particular day, Krishna says, I have to go. So the chariot is ready. And it's like a whole protocol. You have to meet everybody. And if somebody is junior to you, then you give them ashirvad. The equal to you, then you embrace. If they are senior to you, you touch their feet. And it's a big household, it's a big palace. And then those who are the most intimate, they kind of follow you till you're at least till the gate. And then it's a courtyard scene, it's a very tearful separation. And somehow Krishna has to avoid the gaze of everybody. Everybody is imploring with their vision, don't go, don't go. And then he steps on the chariot. And of course, previously the episode of Dali was leaving. The Brahmastra thing came. And now as he is leaving, Kunti comes. And she says, are you really leaving? Now you can understand that I think we begin with text 20. 18 we began, no. 22 is she starts the 21, Krishnaya Vasudevaya. So, yeah. So the Kunti Uvacha begins with text 18, that Namaste Purusham Tvadyam. And the first thing she is saying is, you are Adi Purush. And you are beyond this material nature. Nobody can see you. Why? There is Maya Javanika, there is a curtain of Maya. And then she has to describe him. And she just mixes everything up. She's beginning with the navel, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya. Then she sees a garland, says Namo Pankaja Malini. Then she says Namo Pankaja Netraya. And then she says Namo Pankaja Angraye, your lotus feet. You may say, Mataji, you have to begin with the lotus feet. You have to begin by saying Namo Pankaja Angraye. But she is thinking, oh, he might be completely embarrassed if I begin by offering obeisance to his lotus feet. She is his bua. She is the sister of Krishna's father,
Vaji. Again, Gaurakrishna Maharaj is putting those words that Buaji, aaj kya ho gaya aapko? All these months we are staying together, we ate together, and Krishna, as nectar of devotion and so many other texts of Srimad Bhagavatam explain, everybody, practically in the whole world, when we say the whole world, it means obviously those kingdoms ruled by Kaurava dynasty. Everybody knew that Krishna is so much intimate with this Pandavas. It was not taken lightly by even others. That, you know, of course, you may say that, oh, we spotted Arjun in that particular garden, so Krishna should be there, obviously. They would never go out. They would feel extreme separation even for a space of half a moment. So, in one sense, Kunti Devi is tackling problems which you and me face, and we will see that in our discussion today. That how do we understand God is not partial? I was just thinking, whether a partial or impartial God, first of all, people have to be convinced there is a God. You have to begin at that level, that whether there is a God who exists. So there are people who say that, nahi koi shakti hai. I believe in some power. What to speak of God doesn't exist? There is a philosophy which says this world doesn't exist. Ajatavad. This is Radha Govind Maharaj's first canto discussion, that there is no world, there is no material nature, there is no you, there is no me. So Maharaj quips that if you are not there, then even your opinion is not there. And this is especially followed by some followers of Buddhamat, Buddhism, Ajatavad, that. And Maharaj must have seen somewhere that hours and hours of discussion on Ajatavad, that how nothing has come, there is no need to have any view of this material world as a problematic thing. There is no material world, so there is no problem. Normally people come in saying, I have problems with my material life. They say, your material life doesn't exist. So where is the problem then? So, most of the so-called philosophical things which we see in Kali Yuga have really no basis in classical philosophical understanding. We have Srimad Bhagavatam as the basis of philosophical thought in a way that how do we get the taste? I think Radhika Vallabh Prabhu in one of his, not the last class, but the previous one, mentioned as to what is the world's primary thought process today. So, practically today world means the Western way of thinking, because that is dominating everything because of trade, commerce, and money power basically. So, 15, 16, 17 centuries, people were saying, if the Pope says it, then it is so. So that was the hold of the church, and which made one person comment that this is not Christianity, this is churchianity. It has very less to do with the process of what Jesus Christ said, loving God with all your heart, mind and soul. That's the Christianity. But churchianity is more like, you know, like the belief word came from that kind of a thought process. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?
And you may say that, you know, we Indians, you know, we have a much richer background or something, but still, the fact is there, because of the military subjugation and because of trade and commerce subjugation, you cannot escape the thought subjugation. When there is a military conquest and when there is a trade and commerce conquest, there is also a thought conquest. You start talking in terms of, do you believe in Krishna? Like there was a ISKCON sannyasi, Western bodied, and this was Gujarat. And one Indian boy came and said, I don't believe Krishna is God. He said, that's your problem. He said, look at me. I was not born in India. I was born 14,000 kilometers away from India. Probably some of my ancestors came and brainwashed your ancestors. And here you are telling me that I don't believe. He said, I don't care if you believe or not. I said, oh. This is the advantage they have. You and me can't say that. You see? So therefore, belief. I think there was a class where Devamrata Swami is giving class in Russia. And he said, how many of you believe Krishna is God? So some hands went up. And then he dismantled the whole thing of, why do you need to believe Krishna is God? He is God whether you believe or not. Let us say, for assumption's sake, that Krishna is God. So whether you believe or not, He is remaining God. So the question you have to ask is, am I relishing Krishna's existence? Am I getting a taste? So the temple is meant for people who are there to get that taste and to give others that taste. So it took about 200 years for science. At that time they were called natural philosophers. They were not called scientists. The first name was natural philosophers. Like Newton, Leibniz, they are all natural philosophers. Descartes, Cartesian things, all that he put it. There was one Bruno, and he spoke something against the church, and they burned him alive. How dare you do that? So today that particular part of history is seen as extreme intolerance of any anti-opinion. And in the year 1890 or something like 1880, something like that, science, so-called science, had defeated the monopoly of churchianity. And scientists, this is Italy, so they made a petition that we want to erect a statue of Bruno at the very spot where he was burnt. So they were saying, do it in his birthplace, do somewhere else. Do it in the college where he studied. They said, no. We want it to be at that very spot. So the symbolic meaning is, this is how we are destroying your monopoly. You had that power that you could just issue a fatwa and say that, off with his head. And that's how it happened. So, world, so-called civilized Western world, Indian opinion was not even taken into account at that time. So, they worshipped science instead of church now. So, if the church would say that this world was created in 7 days, so people are asking questions that, like, this is a simple kind of explanation. God started creating on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday He rested. Thak gaya abhi thoda, aram karte. So because He rested on Sunday, you also should rest on Sunday. Yeah, that's how the holiday concept came. Instead, it was a holy day. You work for 6 days and one full day for religion, one full day for understanding your, or deepening your desire, deepening your relationship with God. Nowadays, nobody even thinks of a holiday like that. There's nothing holy there, just a holiday. So, all this began because people were, at one point of time, were not allowed to ask questions. or their questions were seen as an affront. The question is seen as arrogance. How dare you ask like that? So we see that Kali Yuga, even if we don't have capital, we still like to ask questions. We all came because, at least I felt that in my beginning years, 88, 89, 90, none of my questions were seen as illogical or whatever. Even if some of them were, I was gently pointed out that, wait, this question is a good question, but you'll have to wait for some time to get the answer. In Kali Yuga, even, you know, like people without a beggar without a penny in his possession may go to a Mercedes showroom right here near Sukh Sagar and say that why is the blue one more pricey than the black one? He may say, well, you plan to purchase it. I'm just asking, I'm just curious. So do you have the purchasing power? So similarly for philosophy also, do you have the intellectual power? But because of the situation today, like first it was the church's power, then the scientist's power, and obviously, as with everything in life, the scientists are also not able to maintain their position. It is very difficult because all kinds of rogues and thieves are there in every field. Is it not? So, Hollywood began with this thing of the evil scientist. So there is somebody who is having all kinds of power and is manufacturing something meant for the destruction of society. So, now we have evil religious people out to exploit their followers. So that model is already there, ingrained in people's mindset. Evil scientists, their intellect is on higher. Anybody can give them money and they can make something for destruction. So the modern idea is now replaced by something called postmodern. And postmodern means, I like it. But that fellow is cheating you. I like it. McDonald's junk food is bad for you. I love it. You mean to say, that's it? Yeah, of course. I don't need anybody's explanations. In the people say, I am so biased, don't trouble my mind with facts. I have my opinions. And this, like we, Ayurveda, we call it Jwara. So there is Jwara, Sannipat means a very high level of Jwara. Of course, these are all names given to Radharani's devotional bhav also, but we are not talking of that here. So at least, in one sense, just to see the good in the most bad of things, Corona has kind of upset their whole situation. And economic progress will make you happy, a good job will make you happy, or new cricket series or a new Netflix movie series. It's like, yes, dot, dot, dot. But what about the pandemic? And there are so many conflicting theories. In fact, when you read the Bhagavatam or Mahabharat, Nasa Muni, Yasya Matam Na Bhinnam, there is no Muni unless he contradicts other Munis. Look at the vaccination universe. Look at one point of time, I was a little bit worked up when somebody said, this is March 2020, and somebody said, there is no corona, I tell you that. There is nothing like corona. I said, sure? I said, absolutely. It's a whole hoax. It's a whole conspiracy. I said, done by whom? I said, you'll never understand who they are. But there is. So, I mean, you don't want to make this discussion that. But there was one Hare Krishna devotee kind of advertised as having accurately predicted that December 2019, he said something is going to happen. See, something happened. And something has to do with China. See, something happened.
And it's going to be a worldwide thing. See, it happened. The last line was, by July 2020, it's all going to be over. That didn't happen. So then you say, char mein se teen to tokka lag gaya na, barabar. So what is the problem? Nobody could do anything like that. So, like in my childhood, I had read this story about how you can come closer and closer to the truth. So a boy comes home and says that, Dad, I received a first prize, a new notebook from my teacher. So, really? He said, how many legs does a duck have? So really? So what did he say? He said, I said three. So the father said, but the duck doesn't have three legs. Hey, somebody said seven, somebody said nine. I was the closest to the truth. So what do you mean closest to the truth? So lockdowns will ensure that corona doesn't spread. Now they are saying this lockdown is the worst solution ever. So what exactly is happening? What exactly is working? Nobody knows. We are just becoming expert in post-mortem analysis. That if something happened, then only we know that something happened. This, what is happening now, is actually the realm of philosophy, where so many people keep on wrangling, keep on... In fact, a wrangler, some of you youngsters might be knowing only the term of jeans, but a wrangler is actually a debater kind of a person, a philosopher. Oxford University popularized that name. Some Pune guy came to Oxford and became a wrangler Paransby. And then he came back saying, you know, I am a big wrangler. So nowadays they don't have that title. But how Prabhupada is using Rishi, Muni and Tapasi is the word not used. Ramayana uses the word, those who do tapasya a lot. But Rishi, Muni, Krishna uses Sthitadhi Muni, a qualifier. That his buddhi, iska buddhi theek hai, that Muni is okay. So, today's whole thing is based on my experience. How do you find this movie? He says, I liked it. It is trash. I liked it. Take it or leave it. So, the whole thing has become, again, why we will come to this understanding what Queen Kunti is giving here. Actually, when I see in my what are you for? We are also for that taste. We are also for that relish. And prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam especially offer that relationship. This is a very important point. We'll come to that later. So, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Naimisharanya Rishis, they are told by Suta Goswami, and that discussion ensues that, drink Srimad Bhagavatam. Isko piyo. This is meant for drinking. You may say, but you say it's a fruit. So, kuch to juicer mein dalna hai ki nahi? Banana na. Take it as it is. There is no skin. And there is no seed inside. But you say, but this fruit was at the top and it is thrown. No, it is not thrown. It is carefully handled by one acharya after another. And now it has come through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in one sense is, he is the tree, he is the fruit, he is the gardener, he is everything. I think Gaurivilas Prabhu mentioned this. How the panchatattva mudra ughadiya, a panchatattva mili, these five personalities, they came together, prithvi asiya, they specifically came Why? They just broke open the lock. There was a mudra on Krishna Prem, understanding Krishna. And they just distributed everything. Prema Vanya. Shnaskarajaswami calls it like a flood of Krishna Prem. So this flood also comes and goes. Depends upon how we see. We just finished our marathon. And just today morning, our esteemed in charge of the marathon, Mukund Mala Prabhu, said we crossed 1 lakh. Now I was a bit skeptical. I told him that I thought it will go up to 80. I'll congratulate you. 60, I'll just tolerate you. Below 40, and I would have got you. But he said, no, somehow we managed. And Maharaj also once said that, try 1 lakh. So there is something in that figure. We are trying to maintain that. And just for that taste, we are talking of taste. There is a seminar series by Harishwari Prabhu on Prabhupada and writing. And then writing, of course, means books. And then books means distribution. So 73, 74, 75, 76, these were the years where so many of Prabhupada's letters were about printing of his books and then distribution of his books. And then he would ignite his competition to one temple president. He said, oh, you are distributing so many Krishna books, I should come to your temple. And that was it. He would tell everybody, hey, Prabhupada is promising that he will come here. So other temples would say that if Prabhupada comes only because if you distribute books, then he also will do that. So he ignited such a the feeling of flooding the entire world. There are so many letters where Prabhupada says, flood, flood, flood. Just drop them like bombs. And it was that intensity. Today in retrospect, we just don't need to put this Prabhupada's end, that wall, we had put a banner from this end to that end. Please distribute my books, Srila Prabhupada. And Maharaj came and Vidhi had not removed it. So he said, very subtle hints you are giving to everybody, huh? So, it seems like even our own people feel like aajkal Prabhupada book kon padhta hai. I'm not saying that these devotees are wrong or something, but it happens. Kya vai vai books dene ka, usme kya milega, who will read that? We said nobody reads books nowadays. We say, do you? Maybe many times it could be a reflection on your own personal understanding. I don't read nowadays. When was the last time I touched something that, Hare, Bhagavat Pura Karna Hai, ya CC Pura Padna Hai. So therefore this ebb and high, this kind of thing comes and goes. So maybe the paper book distribution, that thing may not be there right now. Or person-to-person book distribution, or a book stall, or a train station stall. But we cannot discount the fact that in order to offset the balance, imbalance rather, we need to give this literature. In order to feel the need to give this literature, we need to relish it ourselves. And if we need to relish it ourselves, we need to know how to relish it. In 76 or 77 was only 6 or 8 months that Prabhupada was physically active. Afterwards he was just incapacitated from our mundane vision. So by that time Prabhupada has made those statements that my disciples are expert only in distributing my books. They don't know that they are for reading also. Or my only complaint is that they don't read my books. So all these
things need to be balanced. So the emphasis now is on my experience. My capital block, 32 font size. Experience could be smaller in size, but I, me, mine, that's what it is there. So, those who want to have that experience, Prabhupada told one, many times he told, but these are some letters, 1972 especially, I am right now focusing on that particular year. He said, my program always was, chant Hare Krishna, taste Krishna Prasadam. Philosophy comes later. He said, right from the day one when I was in New York, the emphasis was on holy name, chant Hare Krishna, taste Krishna Prasadam. So, chanting Hare Krishna also is the taste part, and Prasadam of course is also the taste part. So, I have this theory. It is something like, if Krishna consciousness is a business, then you just have bankrupt people coming to our fold. Like somebody is having 30 lakhs karja, somebody is 40 lakhs. But if you want them to start business, the first thing is to remove their loan first. It's alright. Which bank you owe money? Okay, that. So, okay, done. Now you're at zero. Now take 10 lakhs from me and start something. Otherwise, how will he? If he goes to the market, nobody will give him anything on credit. He's already a bankrupt fellow. So philosophically, those who are bankrupt, the only thing which can offset that is a heavy dose of taste. And a huge supply of taste. So, the first thing she says is, Na Ved. Nobody can understand your pastimes. I was in one Maharashtrian Sahakari Sakar Karkhana Maryadit Cooperative Sugar Factory program. And there was one speaker before me. They said, okay, he is there and afterwards you give the next class. So, he said that understanding, he was speaking on Gita. He said, understanding Krishna is so difficult, uske phande mein padho hi nahi. I could not believe. I said, what did he say? He said, understanding Krishna is so difficult, so don't even try that. Here you have Kunti saying, Na Veda Kaschit. People cannot understand. But that doesn't mean that you don't understand or you don't try to understand. You try to understand why you cannot understand. Or what is it that you cannot understand? So the first few lines, they deal with comparing Krishna with the sun. What are you chanting loudly? So, the very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. I find this especially when people try to understand the Mahabharata, and just now with the help of Pavaneshwar Prabhu and others trying to understand Mahabharata, Tatpar and Nirnay, then I asked Chaitanya Charan Prabhu also. So, my first question was, where do we see in the Mahabharata that Queen Kunti is described as like a big philosopher, or she takes center stage? This first canto verse series, she is in the center, isn't it? Prabhupada chose her prayers as the first series to give a proper lectures series on the prayers. He didn't take anything from seventh canto or later. He began with Queen Kunti. These are the prayers which Prabhupada personally chanted. The recording is available. These are so special prayers. So my question was, does a cover to cover reading of Mahabharata give you an understanding of Queen Kunti's status? I feel no. The Mahabharata is like a mega drama with
300 actors, it goes on for 14 hours. You feel, किधर से चालू हो गया, ये कौन आ गया बीच में, ये कौन है नया, what is he saying, what is she saying? It has that kind of mood. Maybe that's why Vyasadeva wrote that with that particular kind of understanding. So this is 75 or 76. Hey, tell him to stop. Hare Krishna. Hey, Hari Bol. Udhar aao. Udhar baitho, udhar baitho. So, my first question was, does the Mahabharata proclaim to the world that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So, Parameshwara's answer was, right from the beginning, these demigods, they are told to advent, help him. But then why you don't get the picture like that? Many years ago I had read something where they say that Krishna also is like a very silent spectator kind of a character. And suddenly in the Kurukshetra battle he just takes center stage. Here I am Arjun, I am sun, I am moon, I am Ram, I am this. I say, hey, 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 what? It's like a minor political figure suddenly becomes the head of this nation and says, I will do everything, I am this, I am that. People get confused. I was thinking that if the Bhagavatam is described as Bharata Artha Vinirnaya, this is the book which makes you understand what is important in Mahabharata and what is not. Then the whole thing becomes clear. Otherwise there are stories of butchers and they are considered very righteous and somebody is saying, I do my duty. That's it. I don't care whether this is it or this is that. Bhagavatam doesn't have that kind of a fragile kind of a philosophical thing. Vyasadeva has given it specifically ordered. Narad Muni has specifically ordered Vyasadeva that gives something which will make people understand, hey, there is a goal to the whole Vedic text. There is an underlining thread in everything. Now you may say, I don't agree. Fine, that's your point too. That's your prerogative. But after reading Bhagavatam, no one should be confused that, so is Krishna God? You will never have that problem in reading Bhagavatam. You may have that with Mahabharata. With the Ramayana, there is a rasa of Ramayana. Lord Ram doesn't want to say that he is the Lord. So he says, I am a mere human being, I am a mere human being. So today's historians say, O bolta hai human being hai, tum kyun bolta hai God hai wo. When he is honest enough to say that I am a human being, why are you unnecessarily claiming? So as historians, if they have to defend their PhD, they have to come up with some answers. So there is Romila Thapar. And she says that, yes, actually, the seven books of Ramayana, the first and seventh, they only say he is God. The second to sixth, there is nothing much. So our understanding is, Ram was accepted as a popular figure, but then there was competition from Buddhism, from Jainism and from Islam. So people had to do something drastic. If you make temples about him, then only he will survive. So they added so many verses which say that he is God, he is God, he is God. Who accepts this scholarly conclusion? Only the academia. They dare not say before Ram Bhaktas. But as this point was made, that thought subjugation, the tyranny of thought,
the dominance of somebody's thought, it's a slow process. It doesn't become immediately. Many times, with scholars, while they are alive, sometimes there is not much of an impact. But after they die, he was such a great fellow. My goodness. Like Karl Marx, he died, there were 12 people for his funeral. Hardly anybody knew who he was and why he died. But after his death, now in India we have a whole lot of historians who are basically Marxist in their approach. And what is that approach? The core of civilization is commercial activity, where a few people will tell others to do what I say. And that means exploitation. When those who are exploited, they ask them for justice. Why is it that we have to work like this and no proper pay and I can't even feed my family? And so they concoct something called sports, entertainment, and the worst of all, religion. This religious thought tells them, you continue what you are doing and next life you will be salvation. You will enjoy the bliss of pure spirituality next life. Today you work for me. Now that fellow wrote these thoughts and he died. But the thoughts never died. They were then accepted by people who had their own personal problems with spirituality. You can always have, right? You and me can always have this kind of a thing. There is a thing called the dark night of the soul. We are striving for spirituality, we are striving for progress, and nothing happens. So-called Krishna never reciprocates, or whatever. So, we need guidance all the time. So this idea that Ram and Krishna, they were mundane human beings, but then, after all, they became God, right? There was a small Marathi clip. I don't even remember which year it was. It was an imaginary dialogue between Krishna and Karna. So this Krishna, enacted by a popular Marathi actor, he says that, Karna, why do you think I am beyond the purview of destiny? I also suffer. In fact, for the very reason I come as a human being means I agree for suffering. And people say, wow, what philosophy. So it is such a... In one way it is very interesting for those of us who are the warrior class. So it is good that these kind of thoughts are prevailing and it is our chance to combat, like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, you preach. If nobody comes, preach to the four walls. But if you preach, he's telling Abhay Charan De. If you preach in English, it will be good for you and good for the world. So our preaching or our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, our understanding of it, serves the biggest purpose is it is good for us. Whether somebody benefits, that's the extra. At this stage in my life, I am trying to put that as the main perspective. That whether this thing is good for me first, I need to get that taste. I need to get that relish. So, one point from this purport really struck me. Foolish people think that devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. I'll confess, the first time I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then Lord Chaitanya sits on Srivast Thakur's throne. A throne means what kind of a house he has. Just a small altar. Srivas, praise me. And that inner asura just came and whispered in my ears, What kind of God is he who wants to be praised? And why you force your devotee to praise? I mean, if you have a noker, you may say, massage kar. Now you will say, yes, boss. Why? Because he's paid. So does God, Mahaprabhu, does he also need that, you know, offer me garlands, offer me prayers, offer this to me, offer that to me? Many, many discussions later, I don't think I am convinced yet, that heart is still hard. But this feeling of envy, it is there. And one person, this is a small incident, a person came to, I think, the San Francisco temple, and he told the devotees, I really appreciate the way you decorate me here. And they said, what? He said, I am learning something from some Indian Vedanti, South Indian fellow. I'm reading his books. He says, the Atma is one everywhere. And there is one Sanskrit Pathshala online. I subscribe to them. I get regular letters requesting to join something. Greetings, Atma Swarupis. So, I was thinking, what are they saying? Well, there is one Atma and we all are Atma Swarupis. We all are one. We are all one. So just see the digital way in which philosophy is given. At one end of the Buddha is saying, everything is zero. You are zero, I am zero, our discussion also is zero. And at the opposite end are those Atma Swarupis who says, everything is one. You and me are one, we all together are one, we with the whole, that also is one. In fact, there is nothing besides him. There is only Atma, Atma, Atma everywhere. The understanding that somebody is a Jiva, that's the illusion. Wow. So maybe our journey goes from becoming one fully sometimes, then tired of being one, then zero sometimes, tired of being zero, and just like a football team, we are the Jiva is a football. It's just kicked from one end to the other. That's all. This is the kind of understanding. As Prabhupada also in his purport sometimes says, we beg to submit this particular thing. It's like a lunatic, if he is told that dawa khayega, ek marunga. So he said, laddu khayega, theek hai. Same dawa, but if you say dawa khayega, then he reminds him he is mad. But if you say laddu khayega, this is good, he is giving me something nice to eat. So similarly, sometimes the understanding is that you idiot, you rebel, you rascal, take this medicine. But nobody will take if you call him names. So we have Queen Kulashekar saying that, you fool, take this medicine. It doesn't work. So you have Prabodhananda Saraswati. He says that, hey Sadhava, oh my gentleman, I mean you are, sir, you are the epitome of a gentleman. I've never seen a more polished person than you. And he says, oh really? Thank you for saying that. So what do? So just forget everything. Just accept the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a small discussion with Prabhupada saying that, see, this is how we have to preach sometimes. So one devotee said, so that's how Prabodhananda Saraswati made it, that I fall down at your feet for hundreds of times, kaku shatam, I do entreaties, I praise you, you are such a good gentleman, polished person. He said, yes, just accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everybody laughed and Prabhupada said, and give me your wallet. That was important. Give me your wallet means give me your money, take this book. I'll be using your money in Krishna's service. So, everybody... Prabhupada had this knack that he would always bring things to some of a practical kind of understanding. Anyway... So, Bhagavatam teaches us, why would the Lord need our flattery? If at all, what we say to the Lord, oh Krishna, you're great, you're this, you're that. At least I found some counterweights, things to balance these thoughts. Who are the others who can actually effectively praise Krishna? The Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varnanam is described as somebody who is described in choice prayers. Uttama Shloka, transcendental prayers. He already has a team of loyal people who are praising him. He is relishing their prayers already. He doesn't need anything extra. And what can we praise him? How can you praise something unless you know it? So therefore, the first 9 cantos, which describe the greatness of Krishna, they are the foundation stones for a proper prayerful attitude later. Unless, this is a time-tested formula, unless you are convinced of Krishna's greatness, there is no question of praying to Krishna. Prabhupada then tackles this thing of, now this is such a nice thing, this has direct connection with the Bhagavad Gita. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive people or philosophers, they all establish a connection with Krishna. Artha jigyasu artharthi jnani. Simple Gita verse. Now what's the problem with them? In the Gita at that level, Krishna doesn't, Prabhupada doesn't tackle the problem part. Nor even Krishna describes anything more than that. He says, it's good that you have come. The biblical prayer, O God, give us unto this day our daily bread. And Prabhupada said, that's a good prayer. Why? There is a connection established. But at a different level, at a different angle, Prabhupada says, what kind of prayer is this? Why do you need to pray to God for your daily bread? He's giving to those who don't pray. Birds, beasts, where do they pray? So do you think that God will give you bread only if you pray? In fact, the communists would have a big bread van. I don't know where Prabhupada heard it, but it must have happened somewhere. So people would go to the church, and that's the only prayer they know. Give us unto this day our daily bread. And let us forgive our sins as we forgive others. It's a nice prayer. Then they would come out, and the communists would say, did you get your bread? He said, well, I don't know. All right, call us. Dear communist comrades, please give us bread. And they already had brought bread. And they would open the van and give everybody bread. And the gullible folk would say, yeah, we went to the church, we prayed, we didn't get bread. We talked to the communists, they gave us bread. And I was thinking, how do you refute this? It's a fact, somebody actually gave bread. That one conversation proposes, and rascal, who gave you the wheat to make that bread? You made it yourself? Like there's a modern joke about, say there is someone like Bill Gates. It was attributed to Bill Gates. I don't think he did like that. That Bill Gates is talking to God that you made this world. I can exactly make something like that and much better. Your world has so many flaws. So, God said, okay, go ahead. So, Bill Gates picks up some soil. God made this from soil, right? So, the moment he picks up and starts his computer coding, God says, bring your own soil. That he doesn't have. So, in lab you can make a living being. From what? From another living being, from a living cell. They told Prabhupada, test tube babies. I was in school, I remember, it was like a big sensation. Scientists have made a baby from test tube. So Prabhupada said, a mother's womb is nature's test tube. So you are saying, I did something like this, and nature is doing this for the last millions of years. A man says that
I have perfected the art of barking like a dog. If you can't see me, you will feel that there is actually a dog barking. You may say, what about the millions of dogs who are already barking? I mean, good that you have this knack or skill or whatever, help you fill your belly or something. I don't see anybody except Prabhupada giving this kind of pat explanations or challenges. You're just doing what Krishna is doing through nature all the time. So, as soon as the artha, jigyasu, arthati, jnani, they get what they desire, the problem is, the relationship is over. As soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. So we see the good part, that at least they have come. So Prabhupada said, yeah, it's a good prayer, but there is no need for such a prayer. So then what do we pray? And Prabhupada would say, Ai Nanda Tanuja, O son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, I have fallen in this material world. How? Somehow. My understanding of somehow is, don't tax your brains right now. You will understand everything. The somehow is not a mystery part. But hey, this is where the Bhagavatam is trying to keep something concealed. First of all, tell me how I fell. There was a big wave of such research a few years ago. We fell from Brahmajyoti. Nah, we fell from there is a viraja. And just that there is a reason. I said, as if you know they have been there and they are seeing how jivas are falling. Now whether the lost jivas are understood how they are lost or not, successfully people lost their Krishna consciousness. Then I discovered one dialogue with Prabhupada's godbrother, and he was telling ISKCON devotees who came to him, he was in his 80s, that Maharaj, first of all, tell us how we fell down. He said, so early in your devotional career, you want the understanding of this particular thing? What about the other basic stuff? You know, Saranam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, what about that? Like somebody has just gone to play group and somehow understand that in higher level mathematics, 2 minus 5 is minus 3. And if that kid insists, first of all, prove it to me. If there are 2 mangoes, take 5 mangoes out of them, and then the remainder is minus 3 mangoes. It's not possible, right? There is a process to that. Similarly, or there is a comparison that a man has fallen in a well, he cannot swim, and they are saying, take this rope. He says, first of all, tell me who pushed me there. Now, after you come out, you have all the time to do that research, whether you fell by yourself, or somebody pushed you, or something else happened. So, time and space, the fall of a jiva is regulated with time and space. Now, how will you understand a realm where there is no time and space, and from there you fell while you are in time and space? So therefore, Lord Chaitanya just says, patitam. Now again, if you say, I don't feel I am patitam. I don't feel like I am fallen. I mean, I could be a little bit inconvenienced, but not that I am fallen. So fine. Take your time to understand the full reality whether you are fallen or not. One of my things which I like is, Devamrita Maharaj says in a lecture, if you see the bathroom mirror early morning, and you still have a material body, it means you made a big mistake. So the sahajiyas, they say, this is not exactly material. Every allegation you make, there is something which somebody will say as an antidote. So there is no end to this word jugglery.
That's a fact. Here, we are seeing that the relationship is almost connect. The connection is always already, almost there. Whether you are a artha or a jigyasu, artharthi or jnani. Because the focus is on what you came for. A artharth, artha comes for a disease remedy. A artharthi comes for the money part. The jnani comes for the knowledge part. And a curious person just comes for that jigyasa. If it is not properly cultivated and pushed to the next level, there is every danger that you may take the credit. Because of our long-standing desire for being a controller, enjoyer and a proprietor, like a businessman in bad days, not enough money, and somebody says, "Ek gaay ko kuch daan karo, do something," and then he does that, he comes in the artharthi category, and then takes a business decision, and that makes him a millionaire overnight. Without this connection part, Prabhupada is saying here, you might say, "I'm very clever, I just took that decision." So well, just a day before, you are complaining that you don't have anything, you are completely lost. Like Radhananda Maharaj gives example of that space ship, Apollo 13 or something. Its mission was redundant. They sent them up. There was a flaw. They said, "Oh, at least bring them down alive." And there was a big problem. 6 hours left, 4 hours left, 2 hours left. And NASA is telling the government that you can't do anything, so at least pray. So tongue, 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 everywhere the church bells are ringing. Everybody is saying, "Oh God, please bring them back, please bring them back, please bring them back." Half an hour left, 15 minutes left, 3 minutes left. Now there is a 3 minute radio silence because that is making entry. We cannot have any communication. After 3 minutes, there is a splash in the ocean. Then they will start their communication link again. And they say, "We have arrived safe." And suddenly everybody is so happy. And the scientist said, "We did it." Really? For 3 days, you are at your wit's end. You are trying to throw each and everything at your disposal at the problem. There was no solution. Finally, you said there is only thing which will work is prayer. But does anybody say, anybody admits that prayers worked? No. Because the connection is not there. So you immediately say, "I did it, we did it, or we are so lucky it happened like that." So poor Krishna, he has to work behind the curtains all the time, do things all the time, and has to see people taking credit all the time. I think this is evidence enough that he doesn't need anybody's flattery. He's already doing things on his own. He doesn't wait. Last point. That whether God is partial to his devotees only. This is Giriraj Maharaj telling a story. A man comes to Prabhupada and said, "This is India. I see at least 5,000 temples, completely dilapidated condition. Bats and dogs are the only ones occupying that place. So as such, these temples were constructed. Nobody goes there. Why are you interested in making more temples?" Now just see, many times Prabhupada's answers are also, why unnecessarily give somebody a whole Bhagavatam discussion on why we need temples? He said, "Aap shadi shuda hain?" He said, "Yeah." "You have a wife?"
"Yes."
"You have kids?"
"Yes."
"There are 50,000 orphans loitering the streets of India. Why don't you pick 2-3 of them and call them your kids?"
He said, "Aise kaise karenge Swamiji? Apne bacche to chahiye na."
So he said, "You are a good person. You help give donation to orphans or whatever, but you also need your own kids to love, right? So, of course, it's natural. So similarly, we also need our temples. We will help to the extent possible, but we need our temples.
You said, that's very sensible.
So, God showing that partiality is not exactly partiality. It is more like reciprocation. And this is what Prabhupada says in the final lines, that Krishna is like the sun. Somehow or other, if someone puts himself open in the sun rays, he is sure to get the requisite benefit both by heat and by ultraviolet rays. For the modern public, Prabhupada is giving a very scientific understanding that sun means sun means sunshine, sun means warmth, sun means heat, light, illumination. Also you get ultraviolet rays. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is never partial. It is wrong for the people in general to think of Him as partial. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for being such a kind, patient audience. Grantharashimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.